getting cold and chilly out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my favorite things to do, no matter what the weather's like, is go down to the national parks. Our guests coming up are going to discuss the feasibility or the feasibility of a feasibility of a national park. A big one. North of here. Encompassing, what is it, all of that whole Greenville...
Up towards Millinocket, you mean?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, it would be, I mean, it's only 47,000 acres, the Acadia National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's the biggest one in Alaska, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Denali, probably.
Yeah, and that's huge, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres. And I don't know, I think if you drive by the property on the way down to Acadia, you see some pretty significant value there. My old high school buddy, Leanne, is with us. Do you still get called Leanne?
No, I'd rather have
Lee. Lee, okay, come on over. Did you have a talk with your mother? Why in the world did you name me Leanne? Come on in.
Oh.
All right. And Leanne, introduce us to your husband.
Okay, Leanne and Tom Zelog.
Lee. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm going to learn.
You just can go by. No, Lee's fine.
Okay.
And my husband, Tom Zelog.
Good morning.
Hey, Tom. Zelog.
Yes.
Now, I stopped being Patty, too, so it's only fair that I get Lee right. Little Patty Lamash. Lee and I worked at McDonald's back in the day.
Oh my gosh, I even forgot about that.
Yeah, you got me that job.
Yeah.
That was my first real job. That was what,
you've
16?
Come a long way, baby.
We used pencils, remember? Pencils
we
and paper.
We used to have to add it in our head. We had to memorize all the prices, the tax tables, add it all up. Can you imagine?
Write down if someone only wanted mustard.
I didn't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, drive 1.5 hours to reminisce. Let's talk National Park here. Time is short.
Good man, Tom.
Look, Mr. Zelog.
It's an important subject. Wake up, Bingo. We're here.
You tell him, Tom.
Anyway, those were the good old days. Yes, we're going to completely ignore Tom until he gets his own radio show.
By the way, the largest national park in the United States is, in fact, in Alaska, but Denali only ranks number 3 on that list based on size.
Are there several in Alaska?
Well, there's at least 2.
Okay.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3. I see 3 just on this list of top 10s, size-wise, talking strictly area. Wrangell, St. Elias.
Oh, 13, Tom was right.
13,005 square miles.
15,000 square miles? What was the...
No, 13,005 square miles.
Now, is that national park and national forest added together?
That's national parks, largest national parks.
Wow, because there are two designations, right? National park and national forest?
That's correct.
And what is it that the main was national park would be?
National park.
Just national park, no national
yes.
forest at all.
Correct.
Okay, so that means there'd be no harvesting on it.
That's correct.
Okay, because that's the difference. A national forest is harvested and managed, for want of a better term. So what size would the Maine Woods National Park be?
Well, what we're advocating for, and I'll just mention what Tom and I, we established back in 2007, the Maine Woods National Park Photo Documentation Project. Tom has been a professional wildlife photographer his entire life and been an advocate for wildlife ever since he was a kid. We established this photo documentation project to put a face to the proposed 3.2 million acre Maine Woods National Park. So people can actually
That's really
see,
big.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so deserving. The great Maine's Great North Woods encompasses 10 million acres. You know, we take from that 10 million acres. It's time for us to set aside some of that, to give some of that back.
So the project that Roxanne Quimby is vilified is 70,000 acres of her own land, which is literally a fraction of a fraction
right.
of what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she put stones across her driveway. And people got mad at her. Hello, what part of property rights in the state of Maine? I mean, all these property right advocates who say I have a right to destroy the land, all of a sudden don't feel that same way when it's I have the right to preserve the land.
Right, yeah. And it's great. I just want to mention, you know, it's great that what Roxanne wants to do with that 70,000 acres, very generous. However, it is just a fraction. Mm-hmm. It's a great start, but we can't stop there. Animals like bear, moose, Canada lynx, they need huge, expansive areas to survive. 70,000 acres does not give them enough area to survive.
Well, and animals like humans need an awful lot of oxygen and natural resources to survive.
Some of us more than others. I won't name names. You know, this forest, you know, when the conversation of the proposed Maine Woods National Park comes up, it always seems to be me, us, we here in Maine. But this is a huge issue that has global implications. We in Maine are incredibly lucky to have this opportunity, to have this forest. If a national, it contains such incredible biodiversity that is so important to the function and health of this planet. This national park is, this proposed national park is not for the people of Maine. It is not for the people of the United States of America. It is for the people of the world. It is for the planet. The implications are huge. And we should be grasping this issue and talking more about it because the implications are huge. They're phenomenal. There's not many states or countries on this planet that have opportunities like this to preserve a large swath of land that would contribute to the health of this planet.
Well, I used to be a forest educator for the Forest Ecology Network, which meant I went to schools and universities and taught kids about what goes on in the Maine woods, just so that they would have some idea and therefore maybe respected a little more when a topic like this comes up. And, you know, we could talk about bear and lynx and stuff, but we could also talk about biota. When the biota are the tiny little microbes that live on the ends of roots that chew soil. And a root can't get into the soil if the soil isn't soft. So you chop down a whole pile of trees, the sun bakes the soil, the biota die. You know, trees grow on the floor of a forest, forest trees, on purpose. That's, you know, couple of million years of evolution means that that's where a seed's going to germinate. That's where the roots will be able to grow. And so you go and you tell kids this stuff and young people this stuff, and hopefully it sinks in that if we don't preserve a whole pile of this land where these tiny little biota live, we're not going to have the Great Northeast Woods, which provides 12% of the land-based oxygen to the world.
Right, exactly.
So that whole global impact of preserving a decent chunk of this land. The other story that always struck me was, do you remember there was a judge who was murdered in New Hampshire? A judge, and someone went into a courtroom and killed a judge and a couple of other people. And she was an ardent conservationist, so they decided to purchase a large tract of land and name it after her, state of New Hampshire. And so they went to buy paper company land. And when they went to get the land, the decision was made not to make the purchase because the land had been turned into a barren moonscape. And by the time they were able to put those trees back, it would be long past the time that this judge would ever have been remembered. So that's the sort of stuff that really isn't discussed when we discuss things like preservation.
Exactly.
You know, we should discuss the economy because, by the way, a national park would be good for the economy. But to discuss these natural reasons, these unique opportunities to preserve.
People, especially in the neighboring towns that would be affected by the creation of a national park, are often talking about jobs. And that's a legitimate subject. But I want to make it perfectly clear that Lee and I, just because we care a lot about wildlife, does not mean we care less about people. There are some very significant socioeconomic concerns about the creation of a national park. But I think I'm more concerned about my great-grandchildren 50 years from now asking me why. Why did you not preserve this beautiful forest? You knew it was in peril. Why did you let it die?
Yeah. Now, you've been a wildlife photographer, Lee said, for how long?
Oh, gee.
35 years?
Yeah. I've been professional for probably 25, 30 years.
Yeah. And what just let's go into that just a little bit. Sure. What are some of the remarkable things that that has done for your life, being able to go out and photograph?
I don't think I could begin to explain how big the impact has been of me being not just a photographer, but being in love and interested in the outdoors and wildlife, especially. I gather tremendous enjoyment and self-satisfaction from reading about wildlife, watching wildlife on television, but most of all, watching it in real life, going into the forests. And
well, that's what I want you to do, is picture somebody who's trapped right now in their house who's not going to get in the Maine woods because maybe they can't walk. Yeah. Tell us what it's like when you're up there.
Well,
it's amazing. It's simply amazing. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to sit in the forest for 16 hours a day in a blind when the temperature inside the blind is 100 degrees. But you get rewarded, and you get rewarded when an animal, and this could be just a mouse or a moose, comes walking into your view and does not know that you're there, is not aware of your presence, and this animal behaves naturally. It will play with its young. It will feed in peace. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching what most people watch on television, but I'm watching this live. And I get so much satisfaction from seeing this. And then ultimately photographing it and sharing with people. And I know there's a lot of people out there who can't get out into this situation. It's a very difficult environment. It can be, and it's time-consuming to get close to wildlife, especially in Maine, because they've been hunted for hundreds and hundreds of years. And I'm always asked, you know, what happened when what occurred when you obtained this particular image or that particular image, and I enjoy sharing the stories about it, and I find people can't get enough of it. And I'm finding through this Maine Woods National Park photo documentation project that there's a good amount of people who have never been there or who have been there and haven't seen any wildlife. They travel the moose roads, the logging roads, looking for animals, and they never see any animals. And that's normal. It's because the animals are wary of man, especially in Maine, and it takes a lot of time to allow a creature to become accustomed to your presence and to photograph it. And when it occurs, I'm the happiest person in the world. There's nothing better for me to do in my life except to go and sit in the middle of the forest for hours and hours or days or weeks, whatever it takes to watch wildlife in their home.
And there, you know, what Tom just said, the animals are so wary of man because they've been hunted for so many years in Maine. All the more reason for a national park, because they'd be protected. And then it would be much easier for people to be able to go and observe them in their natural environment.
I've been working in northern New England for decades. And in those decades, I've seen a few black bear. But it's very difficult to observe them for extended periods of time. When I visited Yellowstone National Park, I encountered a sow and cub black bear, and I was able to watch it for a half hour. In that half hour, I observed more behavioral activity with this family of black bears than I have my whole life in northern New England. Just to give you an idea of the comparison of how much readily available and easier it'll be to observe and photograph wildlife in a national park than in a non-national park. And if anybody who's ever visited any national park, Acadia National Park or Yellowstone National Park, one of the biggest highlights of visiting these places is to have opportunities to easily and really readily available see and observe wildlife. I believe when a national park is created in Maine, that's what's going to happen. People are going to be able to hike and just drive if you're infirmed or old and be able to see greater abundance of wildlife.
It's 8:21. You know, it's not just hunting. It's the loss of their habitat. We're going to talk about that when we come back. It's 21 minutes after 8 o'clock on the Pulse Morning Show.
Are you looking to get your marketing message to as many people as possible? Looking to target your message to a select consumer group? Well, the solution, Bangor Daily News Print. Bangor Daily News Digital, BDN Maine. BDN Print, the most trusted daily newspaper in Maine for over 120 years, reaching more than 200,000 adults weekly. BDN Digital, a website with more than 10 million visits a month, and three new apps reaching millions more on their mobile devices. Bangor Daily News, reaching consumers across multiple platforms. Bangor Daily News, bringing you Maine.
JR Redemption Center, 151 South Main Street Brewer, wants to be your redemption center. They also want to remind you they're open 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. for your convenience. JR Redemption wants to remind you whether it's one bottle or can or hundreds of them, there's just one place to go. JR Redemption Center at 151 South Main Street in Brewer, where recycling makes sense. Call 989-1430 today.
I remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Maine National Guard. Aired by the Maine Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz. You can catch me right here weekdays on the Ed Schultz Radio Show. There are people who have billions of dollars to spend that want the tax code to their favor, that want labor to their favor, that want deregulation to their favor, that want corporate interests going with them, that they're not going to be bugged by anybody, and they have got candidates in place to make that legislatively happen for them. Join me for the Ed Schultz Show.
The Ed Schultz Show, weekdays at noon on AM 620 and 103.1 The Pulse.
Hey, I'm inside a car shopper on autotrader.com. He's close to finding a great deal on the perfect car. And as the big moment draws closer, a celebration's about to ensue. Easy there, Sparky. It's not over just yet. It all began with his head demanding something reliable, safe, and with great gas mileage. But his heart desired a soft top and soft leather seats to match. That's when he went to autotrader.com. Once he could compare new and used cars side by side, sorting through all the options, pricing, and special offers was simple. And a great deal on the perfect car wasn't far behind. And he's got it. Looks like they both got what they wanted. What a deal! Now the sparks are really going to fly. I said, the sparks are going to fly. Yep, I'd say he feels pretty good about finding the perfect deal on a car he loves. Autotrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace. Now find a great deal by comparing new and used cars with Autotrader.com mobile or download the app today.
.825 right now and 65 degrees on Broadway in Bangor, AM 620 and 103.1 The Pulse. Pulse Morning Show.
We're talking with Lee and Tom, and they have a photo. You're making like a photo preservation of...
The Maine Woods National Park Photo Documentation Project is to educate and inspire people to support the development, the creation of the 3.2 million acre proposed Maine Woods National Park.
Now, is this available online?
We have a website, www.mainewoodsnationalpark.com. So that's part of the education. The other part of the education is we go out and we do presentations to groups about it.
People contact you through the website for that?
Yep. We are putting together, we're creating a book on the Maine Woods National, proposed Maine Woods National Park. And we're also working at doing a traveling art exhibit of the photographs that Tom is making.
Yes, we're actively seeking sponsors for the art exhibit. If anybody's interested, contact us. And we hope to put a face, like Lee said earlier, put a face to this area that is spectacular.
How many photographs do you have up on the website?
Have probably about two dozen at this point. It's a work in progress. I'm still continuing my forays out into the forest. I just returned last week and encountered a beautiful fissure out in Wastatacook Stream, which is just east of Baxter State Park. And
first time ever sighting?
First time I ever seen a fissure.
It's really putting a face to the proposed Maine Woods National Park, putting a face to the denizens of the wild denizens of the proposed 3.2 million.
Well, you probably heard this, but the oldest and last tortoise of its kind died this weekend in the Galapagos Islands. One of the original species identified by Charles Darwin when he was down there. And it's dead. It's the last one. They tried many times to have it mate. They don't know why it died because it was less than 100 years old, they estimate, which they usually live to be about 150. But, you know, I mean, there is a point where it goes too far. And to stop the madness short of that point where it goes too far is really the...
You know, we have a choice. As humans, we've been given a gift of choice. We have the choice to either let Maine's Great North Woods live or die at the hands of man. It's our choice. And
the forest has served our nation as well as other nations well for hundreds of years. And I think it's just time we give back to it.
And you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, how nature serves us. And there was actually a study done back in 1997 by economists and biologists about what nature gives to humanity free of charge. And if we were to estimate that, and they did, it would cost us $30 trillion.
Wow.
To create that ourselves by what nature just gives us for free. It doesn't cost us anything. And we need to protect that if we're going to protect other species as well as the human species.
Okay, we only have 2 minutes left, and I did touch a little bit on that forest that was destroyed in New Hampshire that won't come back for a really long time because once you lose the trees, you do lose the topsoil and stuff. But in 60 seconds, why can't we just do it the way we've been doing it? Private ownership, have some harvesting, you know, blah, blah, blah.
We have some of the greatest conservation groups in the world right here in Maine, but unfortunately they all have their separate agendas. And as a result, a lot of the land that is saved by these conservation groups have created fragmentation. And fragmentation is actually, some people think it's detrimental. It's not helpful at all. We have to have a charismatic, powerful conservation leader in the state to bring all these groups together. There's enough land for everybody. If we can get all these people who have all the different causes together, we can please everybody.
Everybody except the people who want to harvest the timber and sell it.
But that's Tom's point. There's plenty of land in the state. As I said earlier, the Great North was 10 million acres. I mean, how greedy of a society are we that we can't put some of that aside for our future and the future of our upbringing? And just really quickly, you know, we have people running for U.S. Senate. And it's very important to know how they stand just on the feasibility study. You know, we need visionaries. We need people. Our elected officials are supposed to look out for our well-being. If they're not willing to even consider a feasibility study, how do they know if it's a good thing or a bad thing?
Lee, how greedy are we is what we talk about 4 hours a day,
I know.
5 days a week.
I knew that would get at the heart of
yeah.
that.
We're digressing.
That's the biggest question of all. And we're so greedy. Our kids don't have health care. We're so greedy. Our local bankers are going bankrupt while the big bad guys on Wall Street are running the show.
And we need visionaries, you know, in Washington. Think about who you're electing down there.
That final word is the important word. It's 8:30 on the Pulse Morning Show. We'll be back after news, sports, and weather.